Most Christians understand the term stewardship, at least we think we do, until we start reading God's word for real and we discover that the notion of stewardship is about risk, it's about urgency, things that we so often don't really want to hear about. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond and welcome again to the program as today we chat about the myth of stewardship with my special guest, Rick Dunham. And look, please stay tuned because in just a few minutes, I'll be telling you about our free daily devotional Fresh to help you draw even closer to God, to live in the victory that Jesus died and rose again to give you. It is fabulous to be with you again in the beginning of a new week. And it's going to be a great week here under a different perspective because we're joined again today by my special guest, Rick Dunham. If you're able to catch us last week, you'll know that Rick is a man who's been on just an amazing journey with God throughout his life, during which God's taken him down some, well, difficult paths. And it's given him a passion to help others in discovering financial security, I mean real security. Not in the way the world promises it. We know that doesn't work. But God's way, learning to find our security in Him rather than the sham promises of a whole money and wealth cycle. That's why I'm so blessed to have him join me again today on the program. Rick, welcome and thanks for joining us again.
It's great to be back this week.
Now, if I could just ask you to briefly summarize the heart of what we were chatting about last week on air. As I understand it, you're not saying that we all have to be poor to follow Jesus.
That's exactly right. The core of what we're talking about is that this thing called money actually can have quite a powerful influence and does have a powerful influence over our lives. And it can unwittingly become our source of security, which I think it does for majority of people in the Western world, and ends up replacing God for that source of security.
Now, on Friday, we were chatting about this thing called stewardship, and we kind of ran out of time. So I'd like to continue that discussion, if I may, today. Just quickly, what is stewardship, and why do we so often miss the point about stewardship?
The way that I define stewardship in the book is that it is the wise and effective investment of all the resources that the Master has entrusted to us in order to accomplish or to produce the best possible return for Him and His kingdom. So it's not about a tithe, and it's not about giving a little bit to God and keeping the rest for myself. It's about seeing that everything I have has been given to me by the Master for kingdom purposes. That's stewardship.
Now, you talk about five main things in your latest book about stewardship. The first one is accountability. Tell us about that.
Yep. The accountability is that there's accountability ultimately to the Master, that someday we will stand before Him and we will give account. We will give account for how we've used everything He's put into our trust. And I'm afraid that most Christians, again, don't really believe that, but it's true. Another thing that I really focus on is that stewardship is not about saving money. One of the things that I think is a huge misstep on the part of many Christians and I think many ministries, you'll hear this idea that, well, we saved this money, that was good stewardship.
You're not suggesting we waste it?
No, I'm not suggesting we waste it at all. But sometimes good stewardship means actually making an investment and spending more money because the impact will be greater. So it's not about expense management, it's about investment management.
And returns.
Yeah, and returns. So I don't decide whether or not how much I should spend by how much money it saves me. I decide how much I'm going to spend based on the return it's going to bring the kingdom. So at times, yeah, I should spend less because the impact is going to be less. That is why stewardship. But to equate just saving money with good stewardship is a bad move.
Well, in fact, the parable of the talents, the five talents, the two talents, and the one talent, it was the guy who got one talent who just saved money.
Exactly
right. He buried it in a hole. And Jesus, the Master, comes back, and he's not happy.
No, he just ripped him apart because he basically said you were a horrible steward because you at least put the money in the bank and earn interest.
Yeah.
Don't bury it. But he was, you know, and it's really interesting there. His one response was the only response that did not use the word entrust. In other words, the Master said, I entrust you the one, the two, and the five talents. I entrust each of you with those talents. Uh-huh. The gentleman, the servants that were entrusted with five and two, both repeated back to the Master when he came back, you entrusted these to us, and therefore this is what we did. the one with just one talent never used that verb.
Yeah.
All he went on into was this huge idea that, Lord, I was just fearful of you. And he basically said, no, you know, you basically buried it because you did not want to invest it for my kingdom purposes.
One of the things you talk about in your book is a sense of urgency and priority around our stewardship. What's that about?
Yeah, it's really interesting when you look at that parable. Jesus weaves this masterful story, and right at the outset, you see them using the word immediately. They go out and invest
yep.
it. Immediately, they put it to use. You get the sense of urgency that the things that God has put into my trust are to be put into circulation and not be put on the sidelines.
Okay, so they didn't go on a holiday in the Caribbean first.
No, they were very focused on making sure that what God had put into their trust, what Master had put into their trust, was actually being used. I think one of the other principles, too, that I find fascinating is that they risked it.
Yeah.
They had to. If it wasn't a risk, then why did the guy with one talent bury it?
Hmm.
These guys, the Master was gone, it says, for a long time. So they put this out into the market at risk. And I think our risk for the believer as a part of our stewardship is that we risk. What are we risking? The idea that we might not get ahead. We're risking the idea that our lifestyle may change. We're risking the things that the world would say are most important, but we're saying, you know what? What's more important is I'm going to put this out for kingdom return. And I might have some personal risk in that, but that's okay.
Yeah. They had to risk. I mean, they got 100% return.
Yeah.
The one with five got another five. Now, that's a serious return.
That's a very serious return.
And it seems to me the thing the Master focused on was not the process. It was the return.
Exactly right. The fact that they put it out there and they got the return.
Okay, so we hear what you're saying. All in, you have to lay it on the line. But to someone who's listening and they're afraid of failing, they're afraid of falling flat on their faces and perhaps losing money that's really important to them, what do you say?
Well, this goes back to the verb that the Master used in entrusting it to us. Stewardship operates in the freedom of that trust of God, God's trust, rather than the fear of failure. Is that when we step out and invest in kingdom purposes, ultimately then it's God's job to care for us. That's the whole reason Jesus said what he did in Matthew 6. You can trust me.
Yeah.
Take a look at creation. If you don't believe me, take a look at creation. And I think you're a bit more valuable than they are.
That's a huge mindset shift, isn't it? It's a huge mindset shift.
It's so hard. It's so hard because we can believe it intellectually, but emotively and in our hearts, that's a real hard one to embrace.
And ultimately, Jesus is calling us to believe it with our lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not in theory.
Exactly right. And that's why I say is that most Christians will give intellectual assent to the idea that God owns it all and he'll take care of me and I can trust him, yada, yada, yada. But in fact, the way we end up living out our lives, we're putting aside kind of just in case. We're kind of betting against that truth.
Yeah. We'll hedge our bets against God. Rick's got a big smile on his face. Because you're right.
Yeah.
And for me, the thing that you just said there that really hit home is that when we invest all in for God, it's then his responsibility to care for us.
And he said, I'll take that responsibility.
Yeah, it's great. Before we go, I'd like to tell you about the free daily devotional that I'd love to send you to help you draw even closer to God. It's called Fresh, a powerful scripture verse together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio, or even watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. God's Word, fresh for you today. And the best thing is, it's free. To get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the e-book, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go on, go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.